This is the Hull Show NFL Draft Special, live from Crazy Carl's Pizza in Fort Collins. Here's Brady Hull.
5 minutes after the 6 o'clock hour, welcome to our first time doing this, our special edition of all things NFL draft coverage. We're live from the famous, maybe even the world famous, Crazy Carl's Pizza in Fort Collins. We're right off of Timberline Road. It's myself, of course, and we're joined by Tanner Schwint, host of NoCo Now, the brand new morning show host, by the way. NoCo Now will be moving to 7 o'clock. Tanner's going to have to put the onesie on and go to bed a lot earlier.
Thanks for the intro. I appreciate that. Now everybody out there is like, I wonder what he looks like in a onesie. It's not good. But I'm excited about tonight. It's the first time I've been able to get over to Crazy Carl's. Kevin's going to yell at me here at some point. But the pizza.
As he should. Kevin.
Just another day.
The pizza just showed up right before we're going on.
I know. It's that was, torture, isn't it?
Yes.
It's kind of torture right
yes,
now. Kevin Lytle from the Fort Collins, Coloradoan, our CSU Rams insider. And I'm not just saying it because he's sitting right here. There's nobody better when it comes to all things Colorado State coverage. And one of the reasons we put this show together, obviously the Broncos were of interest. Well, they don't have a first-round pick. But if you're a Colorado State fan, maybe even if you're not, you know the name Trey McBride. And we are waiting to see if he's going to go in the first round tonight. A lot of people, if they are going that way, they're thinking late first round. They're thinking maybe mid-second round. We'll see. Yeah. I'm still holding out hope that we're going to see Trey McBride get drafted in the first round. In fact, you can even bet on it now. I didn't even
know that.
You
did, too, didn't you?
I put $5
attaboy,
on it.
Attaboy.
I put $5
on
there.
That's a big one. The only one that really kind of makes sense, though, in the late round, right, the one that I've been seeing a lot more of is Cincinnati. The
Tennessee
Bengals.
As well. I think they're at 26. They're one that I think has a possibility. But, yeah, if he sneaks in, it's going to be in that range. You know, 26 on is probably most likely, but... But yeah, it's a big day. I mean, CSU, it's been 3 years since they've even had someone drafted,
really?
Much less, you know, potentially this high in the draft. So it's exciting day for CSU fans. I was just over on campus for a different event, but this is all anyone's talking about.
Is that right? Yeah. Go ahead, Brady.
Well, Kevin, I was just going to ask, off the top of your head, who was the highest pick ever to go for Colorado
That would
State?
Be Gary Glick, number one overall.
Well, there you go. I mean, can't get much better than that.
I should know the year off the top of my head. Late 50s, early 60s.
Okay.
But they've only had five first-rounders ever. So,
wow.
If it does happen tonight, very notable. Hasn't happened since 1987 for CSU to have a first-round pick. So just the fact that Trey's in that conversation is pretty significant.
Well, I thought it was weird. You know, there was a lot of buzz, I think, after the combine and his pro day. Like, on paper, this guy just blew everybody away. And even though, you know, he won the Mackey Award and things like that, I think everybody looked at it and said, he only scored one touchdown. Thanks, Steve Adazio, for that, first of all. But I think what that actually got people to see is that for a team like Cincinnati, who has had trouble protecting Joe Burrow, he can block. And he blocks really well in the run game and in pass pro. So I like where Trey is trending right now.
Well, what I think so interesting about that, Kevin, is you wonder how many people are looking at that, are looking at the one touchdown. Are they equating that to, well, Steve Adazio, if you look at his style? Because a lot of scouts, I mean, how deep do they get into it? Most of them do, of course, but when you hear the talking heads like us, if you were outside of Fort Collins, maybe you're not looking at, well, look who their coach was, look at what he didn't do in the red zone. A lot of people tend to just look at that box score, maybe some film and things like that. So that touchdown number is certainly deceiving.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly think the two biggest hurdles, you know, so to speak, he has to face in, you know, the public perception is, one, just Mountain West. You know, it's not one of the major conferences, so certainly your SEC people of the world automatically kind of, oh, you're just, you know, playing the kids' conference. So there's always that. And then, yeah, the other is the touchdown number, because it does jump out. How's the guy have that good season? Only have one touchdown. Cole Turner, Nevada's tight end, had 10. How did Trey only have one? And it was in the second game of the season, too. He went 10 games without a touchdown. But, yeah, like you said, the scouts and the teams, they'll obviously do their research. And Trey has answered that question publicly. He's very diplomatically, to his credit, because it would be very easy
to not do it
that way. And he basically just says, well, you know, we kind of just ran tight formations, a lot of running plays in the red zone, so there weren't a ton of opportunities thrown in the red zone, which is incredibly diplomatic. And I mean, it's accurate, but obviously it was a complete misuse of Trey or non-use of Trey.
But it is smart, too, yeah. Tanner, yes. when you look at the fact that he's not saying anything negative yeah. because we're in this day and age. You got the Wunderlich test. You got all these personality
That's
things
right
that they're
where
looking
I was going,
for.
Yeah.
And they're looking at it no matter what. I don't care if you didn't like your coach. You can't talk bad about your coach because you might not like me and you might not like our coach. So at some point, we want to make sure you're not doing that. So, and I will say we're going to have Ryan Stonehouse, the punter sensation coming on. I don't think he's going to get drafted, but we're going to have him talk a little bit about everything. He's very diplomatic, too. I mean, you have a lot of these guys that are not going to say anything bad about their former
coach. He probably liked
the
Adazio system because he got a lot of playing time out there.
That's probably why if you're considering drafting him, yeah, he's like, thanks, Steve.
He owes everything to Steve.
I've punted a lot more than I'm used to.
But, no, when you're talking about when people diving into this, do they see this about Trey and say, here was the coaching style? They dive into every aspect of these players' lives. I mean, I saw an article coming out about family of Trey McBride. I mean, every little aspect. So, yeah, I think the NFL scouts, they don't miss much. And I don't think that they missed anything about why Trey McBride only has one touchdown in that stat line from the last year. But I'm excited. This is a weird year for the NFL draft. Brady, I heard you talking about this just the other day. There's not a lot of needs, not a lot of great quarterbacks that could go in there. Normally,
well, anytime you don't have quarterbacks just yeah. dominating
and
it, nobody seems to care.
And normally you're staring at a number one pick for a quarterback.
It seems like most years, you know, at least 3 weeks ago, we'd know who number one is.
Yeah.
Whereas that's been debate, you know, up until, you know, this exact
right now.
Moment that we're watching, which is pretty wild. And, you know, it makes it kind of fun. I like it.
It adds
more intrigue of. You know, a lot of years, not only number one, you can usually say, well, this guy's going to go one, this guy's going to go two.
Your top ten is already listed.
And the draft starts at five or whatever.
Right.
Whereas that's not the case this year. So that's kind of cool.
Mel Kiper's making his first appearance on there. Mel Kiper always has to pop up there. But they did just say eight teams in the first round have multiple picks.
You're going to see some,
which means there's a lot of teams that don't care about first rounds. And then there's a lot of teams that really are like, you know what, might as well. I am seeing that Jacksonville's pick is in, by the way, so we're going to wait and see what's going on there. Mike, I don't think we have the audio that we can play when Roger Goodell goes to the podium in Las Vegas, by the way. I hope he jumps into the pool at some point. That's what I'm – or one of the guys
he
throws
might be
him
thrown
in there.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I don't know. This is when they love Roger Goodell, though. They get the bear hugs, and we're like,
hey,
we're all best friends.
If I were about to go get that first-round paycheck –
yeah, I'd be giving Roger Goodell.
I'll give a hug.
Yeah. One of those lingering hugs, too, probably. That's probably a little strange. You held on too long for that one.
You're going to have to talk yourself out of that one there, Brady. I don't think so.
I would linger. We are for the draft special here. We're at Crazy Carl's Pizza right off of Timberline. Get out here. Grab some. I think this is the best pizza in northern Colorado,
this is
man.
The jam.
I mean, we had some wings, too.
Oh, yeah.
Great beer. What's the beer special going on here?
$3.32-ounce beers.
And we had some old
Aggie. We got old Aggie rocking and rolling. Yeah, my girlfriend Jenna's here making me jealous looking at the pizza that she's just devouring right now.
I had never tried Crazy Carl's Pizza until they started working with us. There's some NIL stuff that we did with some football players and, of course, David Roddy. And the first time I tried it, that's it. That's the only pizza we go to.
The atmosphere is awesome. This is the first time that I've been here as well, and it's rocking. It's rocking. So, number one, Jacksonville, what are your predictions here?
Well, most of it, like Aiden Hutchinson, that's the big name that keeps coming up, right? Is they're probably going to go there? Although Trayvon Walker, the edge rusher, is right there up
surge.
On the seat.
He wasn't even first team all conference, right?
I don't believe so. So
and that Georgia defense was completely stacked. You heard about a bunch of other names. You didn't, not that you didn't hear his name, but he was not the first one mentioned, you know, during the playoff
yeah.
and things like that.
Yeah,
he's
so
really
weird.
Surged. It's funny
it's
how
weird how the draft.
It's funny how guys fit, you know. Are viewed as different fits depending on system and even league. Trey McBride's an example of that.
And you're right. There's so many different teams and schemes now. And sometimes you have coaches that just want to outsmart the situation too. So they look at players maybe in a different way than just their stats, even some of their bigger games. They're looking at a little bit of everything.
Right.
Even guy Kayvon Thibodeau, he was, you know, probably going into the season. I think most people had him as your number one.
Yeah,
right. Yeah.
And he, I don't want to say slid because he's going to be, like, top five. But
a mini slide.
But yeah, I mean, he's a guy that hasn't really been the number one conversation because of, you know, some question marks. Like you were saying, they dive into everything. And
yeah.
He seems, every year there's one guy that seems like there's a, you know, negative narrative around them, kind of for unknown reasons. It seems like it's Kayvon this year.
Yeah.
You know, effort and things like that. Even though there's, I haven't really seen anything substantial. It's just, well, why didn't the guy have 20 sacks? I mean, he must not try hard.
He tried. He had 19 and a half. He could have got the nice round number.
But every year there's a guy like that.
Yeah, so. Well, and I think for Jaguar fans, I think one thing's for certain. They're glad that
Urban exists.
Well, I don't know. It's kind
of
like
four of them.
Bigfoot. I don't know if they're out there. They might be, though, and I want to believe they are. They're really glad that Urban Meyer is not in control of this pick, right? I mean, they got to be ecstatic.
Well, today they're probably like, you know what? It worked out. We got the first pick overall. Yeah, that's an – while we're here, we should talk about that a little bit, Kevin. Because there's some interesting
times. You let us back into this. This is on you, my friend.
I mean, Urban Meyer, did he come to Crazy Carl's at one point? I mean, he was everywhere.
Don't start those rumors. Everyone's going to get up and walk out. Urban Meyer endorsed Crazy Carl's. What happened to the last guy he endorsed?
Yeah, he still might know his way around a good food. I don't know. I mean, his restaurant's pretty good, right? Look at the caliber of people that he got there. Yeah, it's very interesting people there.
He had a good time.
He had a fantastic time there.
You want to expand on your Urban Meyer CSU? Because we're gonna talk ourselves into
sure
trouble.
I do. Obviously, the long story short is he was brought in as a official consultant for the coaching search after Mike Bobo was fired. Long story short, it went as wrong as it could have. They basically let him completely run the search. He put forward basically his buddies' names. They agreed to deal with Butch Jones, who had Title IX issues at Tennessee. That got killed at the last minute. Pivoted, and then pivot again, ended up with Steve Adazio, who had just been fired at Boston College. Very unpopular coach there, and hired him. It was pre-negative reaction at the start, and basically went down
the rest
from there.
History.
And Urban Meyer, obviously, over those last couple of years, has had some issues of his own. And
no doubt.
In a lot of ways that we could talk
several
hours on.
Which only added to the whole Steve. The worst.
Yeah, I mean, it was just
I think the
terrible.
Pick is in here.
The pick is in for Jacksonville.
Was
here.
It the big sign that said the pick is in that tipped you off?
You guys weren't paying any attention to
I don't know
to
if we're going to have audio, so we're going to experiment here today. And we're going to jump over to Micah. We will be a few seconds behind, so we'll see the pick, and we want to hear, of course we want to hear Roger Goodell go to the podium and say, with the first pick of the 2022.
We'll circle back to this, but I want to get into location rankings. Where do we think good and bad NFL draft locations are?
All right.
In Vegas this year.
Were they last year? Weren't they?
That's a good question.
I can't remember.
Was it in Vegas
were they
again?
On site last year? Because we're still in COVID.
All right, here we go. Micah, do we have the draft? We'll go over to it and see if we can get – okay, we're not sure
right,
just
we'll
yet.
We'll just keep it here.
But Roger Goodell is at the podium saying something wonderful, I'm sure, at this point. Jacksonville's going to make their first pick, and many believe it to be an edge rusher. It's going to be Trayvon Walker, the defensive end.
What a rise from him.
Out of Georgia. Look at that. He's going to go number one.
Now, Grant, that Georgia defense was incredible. So maybe not a bad place to live.
Right.
But, man, I really thought he was going to be Aiden.
Well, and all for all you degenerates out there betting on the draft tonight, they had Trayvon as the underdog to get picked here.
Yeah.
They had Hutchinson to
be. Seemed like he really surged in the last few days.
Yeah. He was plus $400. If you would have laid $100 on it, Kevin, you could be up $400 right
now.
Did you have that bet on?
I've never bet on a sport in my life.
That'll change.
Kevin, a dollar or two.
Kevin.
Well, Trayvon Walker's going to go. Here's what I'm curious. And okay, we're going to have a friendly bet here. I think there's going to be at least 4 to 5 edge rushers taken in the top 10.
I think we're going to go back-to-back. You know, this may work for Aiden Hutchinson. You know,
right.
I believe he's from Michigan, not only went to Michigan, but I think he's actually from Michigan.
So what do you think? What's
now go to Detroit.
Edge rushers in the first 10, the top 10.
I'll get it at 3.5. I'll say it at 3.5.
I mean, certainly three is a guarantee.
I'm going to go 4.5.
Well, 4.5
on that
little
one.
Draft,
half of an edge rusher.
Draft history here. Walker's the first non-quarterback to go number one overall since 2017.
Wow.
So it's been 5 years.
Here's some other, and we'll break here in a minute so Tanner can have a slice of pizza.
I was wondering when you're going to do that,
let's
man.
Let's do that right now so we don't miss the next pick here. So let's jump out real quick. You're listening to the whole show draft special live from Crazy Carl's Pizza in Fort Collins right off of Timberline. Come out and see us. Grab some pizza. Grab a beer. Great specials going on. We'll be right back. You're listening to Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Whoa.
Welcome back. We're live from Crazy Carl's Pizza. I'm Brady Hull, joined by NoCo Now's Tanner Schwent and the Fort Collins Coloradoans Kevin Lytle, our CSU Rams insider. And that's significant tonight because we are trying to pay attention to see what's going to happen with Trey McBride in the first round, star tight end for CSU. We did just get the pick for the Detroit Lions moments ago, and another edge rusher is on the map here. Aiden Hutchinson is going to go to the Detroit Lions with pick number 2. And as we kind of thought, edge rusher is going to be a big deal in this draft.
Well, and they lost Trey Flowers over the offseason as well, so you knew they were going to go there. I like Detroit. They were, like, sneaky competitive in all of their games last year. I don't know what it is about that team. I think they're going to start building it brick by brick and be okay eventually. But I like Aiden Hutchinson. I think that's a good addition for Detroit. Oh, hold on. Let's see. What happened to you, Kevin? Did you go away? Try talking
you lost
away
me.
From
here.
For a
here
moment there. Can you hear me? Wait, what's going on here?
Well, we'll see. The Texans are on the clock now, so we'll see what they do. A lot of people, as far as the mock drafts, you know, I'm thinking they might go with an offensive lineman there, but they've got some issues. I mean, they don't have a quarterback situation. They don't have a running back situation. So certainly they're in trouble there. They're just trying to that's a team that's really, really trying to just rebuild this thing. There's not a lot of excitement, of course, with the Deshaun Watson fiasco, all of that. It's just hard to get excited about the Houston Texans right now.
Yeah, the Texans have a long, long list of issues, but yeah, it'll be interesting. That Hutchinson one, you think the Lions fans have to be excited. You know, local kid,
yeah.
Great player, obviously, could easily got number one. That's got to be a good pick for them. And like you said, Taryn, probably some excitement building in that fan base.
Yeah, I think.
As opposed to the Texans one, which.
Right.
Well,
just
Dan
lost.
Campbell, the head coach for the Lions,
thank
doesn't
you.
He
could
fit,
not think of his name.
Doesn't he fit exactly like
I
biting on people's legs and eating their skin?
Crying
and stuff.
After games.
Weird
like
stuff.
It's like he's so manly
well,
that
yeah,
it's, you don't even blame him for crying.
And does that stuff, but then he starts crying at the end, like, I failed these guys and all that stuff. So it does seem like he's got a good one there in Aiden Hutchinson. So we'll see if Detroit can slowly but surely try to build this thing back. And we do see that the pick is in for the Texans at this point.
But what do we think?
O-line.
It's got to be O-line.
I think they're going to go O-line. You know,
you can't just go with him. Come on now.
Well, that's what I believe.
I'm going to go cornerback. I think they're going to go defensive here.
Sauce?
Yeah. Sauce is probably.
I love Sauce.
Top 5.
Can't get lost in it.
Sauce is a player.
You got to be careful to not get lost in the sauce. That's what I've been told.
Well, we'll see here in just a moment.
There you go. Last five. Defense players number 2. Those are some good players.
Yeah, that's good company.
Sue Miller, Bosa, Chase Young.
Wow.
Yep, that's a pretty good group.
Those are some phenomenal
if Aiden Hutchinson
right
fits in there,
right,
Lions
right
will be happy.
Well, you know, I always my favorite thing about the draft is to kind of see what the theme of the draft is, what teams are overall valuing the most. And right now,
edge rusher makes sense because, you know, obviously with how good offenses are, it, you know, yeah, you need good DBs. But if you're not getting pressure on a quarterback, it does not matter how good your DBs are.
Well, I think the draft really gets started after with the number 4 pick. Because that's the Jets coming up. We've talked that Debo Samuel's been in the news a lot. Is that the first one that they make a trade? Do they trade the number 4 overall pick for Debo Samuel and move?
They got two first-rounders.
They got two first. Is it going to cost them both?
I don't think so. Can they get away with that later first-round pick for Debo?
Are they really trading Debo?
Well, John Lynch says no, but I'm
but
of course he,
you
yeah,
can't
of course
trust
he
any
no
general manager.
So
ever.
I think no, but
what we're hearing with Debo would be a blockbuster trade, wouldn't it?
Oh yeah,
happen
it's got,
if
yeah, you've got to get a ton in return.
I mean, dude, is
that
he guy's
incredible?
Two first round picks? I mean, I would say no, but
I wouldn't want my team doing that.
You're talking about quarterbacks typically warranting that kind
right
of, you know,
but
Aaron Rodgers,
Debo did everything
types
besides play
that's
quarterback.
True. And
he probably would have been better than Jimmy.
You leave Jimmy Garoppolo alone, all right?
Oh, God, are you a Jimmy fan?
Well, I
he hates
every,
Michael Malone, but
every,
loves Jimmy
every time
Garoppolo
I talk to Tanner. So.
Your respect level for me goes
to learn
down
a little bit more about the
hey, guys,
he's
pick
into
is in. The pick
hey,
is
thanks,
in.
Tanner. Thanks, yeah, pal.
You're welcome.
Me and Shovel will keep digging in to figure out how far down I respect Tanner.
I thought I was going to get smacked with a shovel at some
point. We could do that, too.
Hey, one thing to note, guys, the Texans, they did acquire Royce Freeman over the offseason at running back.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, they're ready to go. I don't even know why they're drafting. They're set. Just hand the
Royce
ball off
Freeman
to Royce.
Was an interesting running back,
I liked
though.
Him.
I mean, he had his moments for sure, but it was just in a weird spot in Denver, you know, for the Broncos.
Never
overall
really had much of a chance to truly show anything.
Really
hey, guys, the pick is in still.
Thank you. Pick is in for the Houston Texans. picking at number three, and there's old Raj himself up at the podium.
He's going casual tonight.
Yeah,
no tie.
No tie. Huh?
Oh, it's going to auto-tune to the Avalanche? That's got to get corrected. That's just my TV, guys. Derek Stingley.
Cornerback out of LSU.
Let's go, guys.
Where'd you get that information? That was brilliant,
Tanner's got some good Houston Texans sources.
Who's your guy?
Derek Stingley is a player.
I cannot burn my sources, guys. Kevin, you know that better than most. So, you gotta
so the amazing offensive tackle is still available. Ike Ikwonu? Is that how I'm going to say
it? Yeah.
Am I getting it?
We're
going
to let you go with that one, man. That's all I know.
Derek Stingley, he's a good player.
Yeah. Well, wow. And at that point, when you look at that, though, like, you need everything. So just go with the best player that they had available in their line. And it had to have been Derek, and he goes at the number three
Your
overall
pick. Your buddy Derek,
yeah. Coach Dick is out of here, man.
Coach Bruce Dick, the legendary Bruce Dick.
The legendary.
He's here. He's got his Rockies gear on.
He's got a Rockies shirt.
Holding on to that.
We're
going
to hold on. We're going to hold on to that.
Of course,
Chris Abshire's here too, man.
One of the hosts of Clark and the Coach. I think Clark might be coming out at some point too. So
he is the coach part of that.
Chris Abshire of the Fort Collins, Colorado, as well. So we're going to be talking to him at some point too. It'll be a lot of fun to get into that.
5:50 left on this Jets thing. What are we thinking? I think there's a trade here. I think that they get a trade done here. Like Debo's headed to New York.
They went so
aggressively after Tyreek Hill. I think that they want to get weapons for Sam Darnold. Or not Sam Darnold. What's the other kid? They look exactly the same.
Zach Wilson.
Thank you. See, tell me they don't look exactly the same now that you're Zach Wilson.
Zach Wilson looks
the same. Darnold thing kind of failed, right? That fizzled there. But they want to get weapons for Zach Wilson. Why not get a guy like Debo who can do everything?
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if it was straight up number four pick for Debo. I got one right.
That's not enough.
Oh, yeah.
No, if you're a Niners, that's not enough. You got to get more than that.
Number four. They love him. I mean, John Lynch does love him.
So what do they got to throw in a third rounder or something? It can't be two first rounders, right? Debo doesn't want.
I can't think that you're going to give up two first round picks for a wide receiver, even though he is a Swiss Army knife kind of guy. No. I just can't possibly see it. But you know, I tell you what, crazy things can happen in this draft. But John, I talked about this on Monday. John Lynch was pretty adamant that they weren't going to trade him. And they weren't even going to talk about it. But then you hear on Betting Across America on KFK earlier this week, they're like, yeah, the rumors are really starting to pick up now that there could be a trade in the works. So it'll be interesting to see what the Jets do. I think everybody's kind of waiting to see what happens.
Well, and I think that, maybe Derek Stingley was on their list of needs too, and I think that would have had to been where they thought that he would be available. So if he's not now, that's why it's taking so long here. Like, they are guaranteed working the phones right now. This is the longest one in the first round that we've seen so far.
They're picking.
Yeah?
They're picking.
All right, yeah. Kevin.
Probably
you were wrong.
Are they
going to
go with
tonight?
Sauce? Well, was one that they had. That they had kind of.
Yeah,
injured.
Sauce another. I honestly don't know their full O line, but I'm going to assume that they could use help because everyone can always use O line.
That's 4-13,
especially if you just drafted a quarterback.
Right.
So we got two edge rushers and a cornerback taken so far. And again, that still stays.
How long may we go till we see an offensive
that's
player?
That's what I'm wondering. I mean, I think if that
the
offensive
Sauce
lineman,
goes here
at some point in the top, I thought top five, we'd see an O lineman, but. This also does kind of go a cornerback and an edge rusher, I always think, go hand in hand.
Yeah.
If you have a stud edge rusher and a stud corner, then you can do a lot of things creatively on the defensive side of the ball. So I think that's going
to
be interesting.
We're down to 3.5, guys. I'm telling you, that's what's happening right now. They are working the phone. The longer that this ticks down, the more of a likelihood that there's a trade in the works. Either of you guys coming with me yet?
No.
So we're going to keep it right here. We're going to stay through this and see what the Jets do before we take a short break.
Just so I can rub it in your face when I'm right on this.
We were moving pretty quick with those first three picks.
That's what I'm telling you guys.
Now we've got the Jets coming.
The pick is in,
which...
Yeah, that means today.
They don't announce... Roger Goodell doesn't come out to announce the trade. It happens right there if it did. So
the
Jets are going to be taking somebody. And I'm going to go with Sauce. Why not? Why not get a cornerback?
Yeah.
I'm going to go with O-line.
I'm
going to go O-line. Well, and I'm surprised he's still there. I thought he might go... You know, a lot of people thought Ike might go, in the first or second round. So, or first and second pick.
I think he will.
Yeah, he'll for sure go in the first round, right? Now the Jets pick is in. Again, we're live from Crazy Carl's Pizza and beautiful Fort Collins. Wonderful day today, too. And we're here just kind of going to see what happens with Trey McBride, the star tight end for Colorado State. Will he be there late? Will he get into the first round somehow, whether it's late 20s, in the 30s even, maybe. I'm still holding out hope. I think he is going to go.
What's your thought? You think he goes in the first round? I think he's in the – I think he's a second rounder.
I still think 40 to 50 range. I kind of – right now I'm feeling low fours. I can't remember, you know, exact order off the top of my head, but – yeah, I don't think he sneaks in today. There's a chance. It's definitely, you know, it's not a zero chance, but you know, most likely I think tomorrow he'll be quick tomorrow. Either way, I can't see him getting past mid 50s. You know, I do think that if he were a sneak or fall to about 50, you could see the Broncos start making calls because that is one of the. You know, it's not everyone loves. You know, oh, it's a local guy that won a game. That doesn't really matter, but tight end is one of the needs that the Broncos have.
Sure.
So if he's sliding to 50, to move up, you know, 10 or so spots, you don't have to give up that much. And they have a lot of picks, so you could just do some flopping. So if he's sitting there around, you know, 47, 48, the Broncos, I think, will be on the horn seeing what they can do.
Well, and the reason why local kids work, you know, why you see teams go out and draft those is to try and get butts in the seats, right? And Russell Wilson, I think, is going
to
be
I don't think they have to worry about butts in seats
for that.
One of the things you do get is you're just really familiar because it's very easy to be at CSU games to know, you know, people locally. And obviously, Joel Dreesen's very tight with Trey McBride. He has a Broncos tie, so you have a lot of ways that you do know a lot about Trey. So that's the only way the local tie, I think, you know, kind of plays in of they feel very certain of what Trey is. But to be frank, Trey. For anyone, I mean, you do the interviews with him that the teams will do, it'll be pretty clear that you're getting a very solid guy who's going to work his butt off and be very committed to, you know, whatever you're asking him to do. As we saw last year, it wasn't how he probably should have been used, but he still did it.
Right,
he still didn't complain about it.
He
did everything well, and I think, you know, again, we talk about deep scouting of teams or of players and such. They are doing that research on did he have the best coach that was putting him in the best position to win. Roger Goodell is stepping out to the podium, and the Jets are looking to make
their first pick.
The pick is in, as Tanner Schwint says, and we're going to find out here in just a moment what the New York Jets will do with that fourth pick of the NFL draft. They're going to go Ahmad Gardner, another cornerback. So we got two edge rushers, two cornerbacks not named Sauce. I guess that is Sauce, right? So that's a big, big move. Sauce Gardner, Ahmad Gardner. Is going to go number four.
Best suit of the day.
Best
so
suit
far.
So far.
Is
yeah.
it baby
so far.
Blue? Yeah. That's a nice look.
All right.
I couldn't pull that off.
No.
Well, but no, Sauce is really.
There's not a lot that you do so pull off.
Well, that's true. Good point.
Well, but, except for that whole show hat. Yeah. You're wearing that pretty well.
Sauce is a really good player. I mean, you know, on that Cincinnati team that, you know, obviously kind of made some history this year. He was, you know. I'm not sure you can say a cornerback is the star of the team, but he was pretty dang close.
He was just going the wrong way.
He's going down the wrong hall. You're going to hope that changes by the time he's on
the already
field.
Lost out there, guys. Go on.
That's what happens like, when the podium is in the middle of a.
It's in an ocean somewhere. Yeah. Las Vegas ocean somewhere.
Do you think
they're
like regretting their pick now? Nice. The guy we just drafted can't even find the podium.
All right, so we're going
to. How's he going to read an offense?
Right. Yeah.
All right. So we got the Giants up next. The Giants have picks number 5 and 7.
Daniel Jones.
Yeah, that's
they didn't sign. Sign his extension.
They're
going to pick it up.
Quarterback?
I don't think so.
But do you go with another kind of
unsure
deal here? I don't know about that. All right, we'll take a short break. 36 minutes after the break. We got four picks in. The Giants are up next. We'll see. I don't think we have. We're not on Trey McBride watch until we probably get to pick 16 or 17. And even then, as I believe you guys are on that same page, maybe not even then. But I'm going to go officially on Trey McBride watch at pick 17. We'll be right back. It's the whole show special, the draft special live from Crazy Carl's Pizza. We'll be right back. Welcome back. We're live from Crazy Carl's Pizza.
The pick is in,
Brady. Fort Collins, you're right. We're also joined by Chris Abshire. Sports editor for the Fort Collins, Colorado. Chris, my man, how are you, dude?
Oh, I'm pretty good. I was just saying, I just biked over here. It's a beautiful evening. We got some football to talk about in the spring. Yeah, great evening.
You can't beat it, man. I mean, this is a fantastic place. It's a local favorite. Everybody knows about this place, so it's delicious pizza.
I've now pounded two of the pieces.
Oh, my God. Would you get the meaty?
Yeah, the meaty.
Oh, it's so good. Ooh. It's very good.
So good.
So we're just hanging out today. We're going to continue to follow along this NFL draft. Obviously, no Broncos pick. We'll see where Trey McBride
lands.
The Giants pick is in at number 5. What are they going to do with it?
Oh, I don't know. This guy, who is it? Who's announcing it?
He's all Goodell's excited. Going real slow here. He's slow walking this.
We are taking some time
here. Who is that?
It could be anybody.
Does anybody know who it is?
I really hope that some people are following along
at
home.
And they're like, dude, you guys are idiots. That's so-and-so and so-and-so. That's probably who that
is.
Oh,
he's so hyped up.
Yeah, he's like the hype man.
We're watching the same
thing. Probably just happy to be there and stuff. So it's like a big deal for him to be out there selecting for the draft.
Way happier than most New York fans are around the draft.
Yeah, no question about it. So we'll see here. Giants have two picks here in the next three. So it's going to be very interesting what they do. Do they move on from the Daniel Jones era? I mean, they didn't re-sign him. They didn't pick up his extension.
They got to go offensive line here, right?
To protect who?
Yeah. whoever's labeled as QB. Oh, that's just he's going to announce it.
Oh, and we're going to get the announcement here. I wish they put his name under the thing so we could recognize Sam Prince. He is from Make-A-Wish Foundation. He is fired up.
He was fired up.
What an awesome experience.
Kayvon Thibodeau.
Wow. Kayvon Thibodeau, another defensive end out of Oregon. So
I thought that was offensive line.
I said 4.5. We're at 3 right now in the top 10.
I said it at 3.5. If you put the over on there, it's looking good right now.
It's looking very good, Chris. What do you think
that
about
four,
that?
Actually,
I set my own at 4.5. Okay. I should have just listened to you.
I took the under on Derek Stingley, and that paid off handsomely. So,
well, I mean, sometimes you just got to go for it, man, and you see what happens. But the theme of the draft so far is get to the quarterback and slow down the wide receiver. I mean, that is the theme right now. I love this.
I think in the modern NFL, I mean, a pass rusher off the edge is, I mean, that's about as valuable as you can get right there. Especially one with the kind of explosive potential that a Kayvon Thibodeau has. I mean, I'm a big college football guy, so I watched a lot of his games. Even going back to his freshman year in 2019, I mean, they have his highlights up right now. You can see, I mean, he can dominate off the edge like that. And in the NFL, I mean, we just saw, I mean, look at the Los Angeles Rams. You know, line, yeah. That defensive line kind of carried them to that Super Bowl. I mean, that Super Bowl win, they had, what, 7 sacks in that game? I think this is kind of the way teams are trying to counter, you know, the more air raidy elements making their way to the NFL.
No question about it. And, again, when you look at this, I love the theme that we're seeing. No offensive player taken yet in the top 5.
Kevin's messing around on Twitter over here. Show that to Brady. John Tanjay, he's got some parking tickets. He's looking for NIL deals.
John, give us a call, man.
Can we?
Parking is ridiculous there, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
So my 1 year that I went to CSU, I never understood that. Like, it was a pain in the neck to park. You have to pay for parking at the campus you're paying to go to. Didn't make a whole lot of sense. So can you get on that, Chris? Pull some strings.
Chris, can you write a story about this or something? Let's get this going.
Not my area of expertise.
Kevin, make it happen, man. You've probably already done a story about parking.
I'm pretty sure Miles Blumhardt had one like 2 weeks ago on it, so that's why
we're ready to go. Let's just keep it rolling.
We need an update on the parking at CSU, please. Yeah,
this is just such a classic NFL draft show. We're just bouncing everywhere right now.
Well, I mean, we're on for 4 hours, Chris. So yeah. We gotta
it's
fill
a marathon.
We gotta empty the tank.
It's a marathon. It's not a sprint, my man. It's a marathon.
Well,
here.
And there's no Broncos in this unless they get aggressive and move around a little bit. But
they don't move up for Trey McBride, right? With wherever
unless they're getting to me, unless you're getting enough intel that leads you to believe that Trey's if they really want him. But I'm talking to my guy, and we're going to try to get Zach Stevens of DNVR Broncos on later on. He's really feeling that they're going to go. They're going to go inside linebacker. I mean, he's hearing a lot about the inside linebacker position. So, but I mean, if Trey were there, if Trey were there, what are you pointing? You're trying to get
I was trying to tell him what I was drinking.
There was weird sign language happening
And I went to every one of them, and I'm like, nobody's drinking what I'm drinking. So, okay, I'm sorry.
Here's my thing on McBride. Like, yes, you're hearing words that he's, you know, there's some interest late first round. What I keep wondering is how much of this is like wish casting from whether it's local fans or local media about, you know, all the noise about the Broncos. Like, not necessarily that he's going to be picked that high, but that the Broncos are going to be the team to do it. I'm always wary of that. Like, you know, you see this a lot, I think, when you have big-time schools right near NFL teams. Like, I'm from Louisiana. Every year you hear about the same. There's complaints every year from LSU fans. They never draft LSU players. Complaints every year. So I just always wonder how much this is like wishing.
That they actually
Here, Kevin.
Let Kevin respond. I want to hear it.
I agree, though, because I do that. I do that all the time. I'm looking at players that I like for the, I can't say their name out loud, but the Boulder team and then the other team up north. But those teams, you know, I do look at following all those teams. You go, man, they would look good. You know, the guy's name that rhymes with Uma would look really good in a Broncos uniform. So I'm one of those guys for sure that tends to do that.
A lot of it's familiarity.
Yes.
You know, like, you just see these guys so often that you know they're good, but you don't see the other guys, you know, that they're, you know, sort of on par with and realize how they can help. You know, the Trey McBride one is interesting this year because it is a hole for the Broncos.
Right.
He would fit exactly what they need in a lot of ways. So there is some, you know, reasonable expect, you know, I guess why this kind of buzz happens. I still think it's most likely he's not going to be a Bronco.
Yeah,
well, I think just be. I mean, just
well,
numbers
again,
game.
Just the way the way it is reel. in the second round too. He's going to have to survive a lot of picks to ultimately get to that, which would be
unless
a dream
the Broncos
come true.
Trade, unless, I mean,
which I thought a little bit more about 2 weeks ago. Now I just get the sense that George Payton, you know, I don't know, he could be throwing us off the sense, but he did throw out a lot of things like, hey, you know, we're just going to watch Russell Wilson film.
It is interesting watching, you know, team social media, because it's not just stuff being thrown out there. It's very coordinated.
Right, right.
And so I just saw, you know, within the last 20 minutes, the Broncos tweeting, you know, again, the George Payton saying, we're just watching Russell Wilson highlights. So it's very coordinated. If they truly thought they might trade back into the first round, they wouldn't be putting all that out there. Again, that doesn't guarantee, you know, if a can't miss trade comes up, they would do it. But you can get hints from social media. You can't get a full answer, but you can get hints because it's all coordinated.
This is the NFL draft, though. Teams are trying to throw each other off the scent.
Yeah,
all
true
the time.
Too. That's
so
true.
You never
well.
Know. But
and that's yeah, that's a big deal. Well, you and I, Kevin, talked about when Trey McBride's 40 time came out. You know, some people were pumped. Some people, like NFL guys, were like, "Oh, really? Okay." And then they stopped talking about Trey for a moment.
Trey's had a weird
trajectory.
Journey, yeah, because he, you know, during the season it was pretty mild for a while, then it surged, especially when he won the Mackey, of course. And then I think early in the draft process he was like, you know, skyrocketing of everyone loved Trey, and then I don't think there's anything that really knocked him, other, you know, the speed question was there, but he sort of dipped, he kind of didn't hear much about him, and then, yeah, in the last couple days and today, it's like, wait a minute, this guy might be a first rounder.
Right.
It's part of it's just there's too much time and people talking. I think a lot of it's just complete nonsense.
It's exhausting.
It says us as we're sitting here talking about the draft. But some of it's that, and some of it's very weird. Chris and I were talking about this in the office yesterday that, you know, last year your top tight end, Pitts, where'd he go? Three, four, something like that, top five.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, you know, there's talk that the top tight end might not go until, you know, 50 or whatever. But such an important position, you know. It's a, you know, it's a
NFL
way to get basically
especially
an extra
now.
Receiver. And Trey is such an interesting case study because he's not, you know, he's not Pitts. He's not a guy that's a, you know, 6'5", run a 4'3". He's more your traditional tight end, and he can play, you know, I think CSU had the number. It's like 85% of his snaps were in line as, you know, a true tight end, whereas a lot of these tight ends, you know, Noah Fant, for instance, he mostly lined up outside, and even when he was inside, you knew he wasn't blocking because he couldn't block you or I.
Right.
Whereas Trey can do both. Yeah, he needs to improve his blocking a little bit, and yeah, he's not the quickest guy, but he's pretty balanced. So he's a fascinating case study, I think, and that's why I think he'll go, what'd you say, Chris, the over-under is like 50.5 or something?
Yeah, it was 50.5 yesterday.
I think he'll go before that just because I think a team will be like, he does everything pretty darn well. We can make that work.
Yeah. Well, we got the Panthers pick is in. We'll have another Giants pick shortly. We're going to get to the Panthers pick, and then we're going to take another break. We're almost done through an hour here, guys.
Yeah,
I mean,
I appreciate they're actually, it seems like they're moving a little better than they usually do. Sometimes this first round can really drag.
It can really drag on. No,
it is interesting now. The Giants are going to be able, there's a pick of O-linemen for them. Even if the Panthers go O-line, well, there are a couple guys that are kind of top 10 quality. So, the Giants are probably going to get a D-end and a O-lineman, I would say.
Charles Cross is available right now, too. So I'll be curious if the Panthers take him and we get our first offensive lineman of this draft. So
real quick before the Panthers. Oh.
Oh, there we go.
Oh,
our very
go.
First. So,
there you
Ikeem
go.
Ikwonu.
Ray's been working on this since the minute I walked
out of
in.
NC State. We got our first offensive player.
Oh, that is – oh, what a fresh suit that is.
And we got the tackle
there. We've had some nice looks.
Absolutely.
Man, I wish I could pull off any good look.
Oh, the suits are always fantastic on these things. We got oh, there we go, man. We got a legend in the building. We're going to get to him in a moment.
Cody Tucker rolling in with his Phillies gear, just trolling people.
7220sports.com, our Wyoming Cowboys insider, but there's some big – Cowboys.
I'm excited to hear Cody talk about Chad Muma and some of their prospects. I really like.
And spring football, too, right, Cody? We're already going to talk about spring football. We'll take a short break here. We did get the Panthers pick in. The Giants are right back on the clock. We'll see what they do. Did they take Charles Cross?
It's
got to
be O-line.
So
it's got to be, right?
Yeah, they could get an O-lineman. We'll be right back. It's the whole show draft night special live from Crazy Carl's Pizza off of Timberline in Fort Collins. It's Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Seven minutes until the top of the hour. Hour number one almost in the books. We're waiting on the Giants' next first-round pick, and apparently the pick is in at number seven, so we'll get to that in a moment. But we have one of my great friends I've never met in person, but we talk all the time on the whole show on a regular basis. My guy Cody Tucker of 7220sports.com. Cody, my man, thank you so much for popping by. You had to rub the Phillies series win in our face a little bit with
sure
the Phillies
did.
Gear. It's okay. You're forgiven.
Sure
you're forgiven. I was going to try to protect you with the Wyoming stuff, but then you bring the Phillies in. I think you're okay. Nobody's paying attention to the Rockies right now anyway, so you're good.
I always got
to
wear something that pisses Fort Collins people off. I don't come down here very often. My wife always wants to come down here, and I want nothing to do with it.
You guys,
I just got to wonder here. How does someone in Wyoming end up such a big Phillies fan?
It's weird. That was my Little League baseball team. So I stuck with them ever since. And there was no Rockies, thank
that's
God.
That's loyalty, man. That was the Reds. That's awesome.
I was the Reds in the late 90s, early 2000s. That was not a fruitful time for me, necessarily.
Yeah, there hasn't been many fruitful times to be a Phillies fan in general. So
we're going to keep Cody with us through this. We're going to get the Giants pick here in a moment, and then we'll take a break. But Wyoming fans, not just Wyoming fans, Mountain West Conference fans, all want to know where Chad Muma is going to go.
Yeah.
First, he's going to go in that first round at some point. It's just, I believe, right? It's just a matter of ultimately where he goes.
Yeah, I don't know. I've seen a lot of second, third round with him, and he is one of the higher –
he's one of the higher guys
there. Higher graded
there, so,
linebackers.
Well, we'll get to that in a moment. The Giants are up again. We'll get their pick here in just a bit. What do the Giants
Where's
do
Where's their
here?
Fan that they were?
Giants are going to go with Evan. Oh, they're going to go with it. We thought they might go with offensive tackle. Evan Neal out of Alabama. So the Giants get their D-end, and they get their offensive lineman. They get their tackle. So, hey, if you're the Giants, I mean, you're getting two guys that you really got to protect that quarterback, and you really want to get after the other team's quarterback.
That's where it begins,
so,
right? You know,
that's a good – I think the Giants got to be happy with those two picks.
Are we about to see a run on offensive linemen after that, you know, big defensive top five there?
Yeah.
I think we might be about to.
I'm a little worried. I went my over-under on defensive ends in this deal. I went 4.5 on this. I took the over. We got in the top 10. I got three more picks. So we got to figure this out real quick. But Cody's going to stick around with us and talk some Wyoming football, spring ball and all that stuff. We'll get into that, and we just wrapped up Colorado State spring ball. It's a crazy time of year, you know, that gives us very little, but sometimes, depending on how you want to look at it, gives us a lot.
Yep.
So it'll be fun, man. We appreciate you popping down
here,
too.
One thing I'm actually curious about, we were kind of just talking about this off air, but elsewhere in the Mountain West, and you can speak to it being right up the road in Wyoming, what's kind of the general perception of the early days of the Norvell era here in Fort Collins?
You know, the guy is he's a really good guy. He's a really – obviously opening up practice and everything, unbelievable. You don't see that. You saw all the players that followed him from Nevada, really popular guy. You have to wonder what the heck Nevada's doing.
Yeah. Wow.
That's the shocking part.
Yeah, to feel terrible for Nevada, right?
They're just not putting any money in their program.
The fans at least, right?
Yeah.
All right, when we come back, we'll go to hour number two here of our draft special live from Crazy Carl's Pizza. We're in Fort Collins at right up the Timberline location. It's a beautiful day. Come by. Watch how the rest of this draft unfolds. Where will, Chad Muma, where will Trey McBride go? Will he crack that first round? We're going to find out. We'll talk about it next. It's Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.